We are a Christ-centered community committed to glorifying God, teaching His Word in ways, and promoting loving relationships as we make disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, now I trust you've been working on this. This is a statement that we want to just deeply sit in together and ingrain so that we know when anyone who would pass by and ask, hey, what are you guys about over at that church? The one that says Good Shepherd Community Church. These words would come immediately to mind. We're about these things. This is what makes us tick. This is the things that we gather around here and we live these out. See, a good vision statement, mission statement, is only one that you can remember and speak, but beyond that, live. So, we're moving through. This is part four in our vision series. And the title of the sermon is The Great Commandment and One Like It. The Great Commandment and One Like It. Now, I want to point a few things out here. Actually, just one. You have on your sermon notes an additional page, okay? I got to thinking, you know, there's a blank space on the back of this. And why don't we put that to work? And many of you take really good notes every week. And then you gather in your small groups. A lot of you have small groups on Sunday night or Tuesday, not far after Sunday. So I thought, what if we put some questions on here and put them down to really put the sermon to work, to discuss something we can't do here when we're all together, but you can do in your small group. So what I'd love to do every week is have the same questions. It's just in your mind as you hear things, as God speaks through His Spirit and His Word to you and He impresses upon you certain things, you might just find yourself flipping the page over and jotting a couple things down. If you're a small group leader like Paul Bauer, he already does this. He's thinking of things, hey, you know, we ought to talk about that or a small group. That'd be a good question. Jot that down. Think about it. Even if you're not a small group leader, there's things here that I think you'll find helpful. And maybe if you're not in a small group, you might just even do this with your spouse or with your kids, your family. So personal reflection and small group discussion, leverage that. And kids, I'm still waiting for some artwork. You've got some good stuff out there, so make sure you're drawn. Are you drawn back there? Yeah? Okay, good. Okay. So, here we go. Promoting loving relationships. We are committed at this church to promote loving relationships. We want to encourage them. We want to foster them, build them. We want to live out and model loving relationships. Loving relationships. Okay? Now, there's a small topic, as all of these are. Good grief. You type in a word search of the word love in the scriptures, and the computer starts to smoke. Okay? This book is a book of love. It's an amazing book. How many mentions there are in beautiful, sweeping, glorious passages on love and the call to love. So what I thought I would do is begin with the Shema. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 5, we said this together this morning, and I think we get our first cue on this from this text. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Everything that you are is to love God. It's to be leveraged to love Him. So, deeply committed Jewish people of the day would say this twice every day. They would recite this two times a day all of their lives. They would constantly preach this text to themselves. Jeremy, love the Lord your God with all that you are. Love Him with your heart, with your soul, with your mind, with your strength, with everything that you are. Love Him. And then it would go, Judy, hey Judy, love the Lord your God. You would preach this to yourself every day, twice a day, okay? And then Stephen back here. I see that smile. Stephen, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, okay? So command number one, love God. Command number one, love God. We find this early in God's interaction with His people. This is not, if you feel like it, this is called out, command. Love Him with all that you are. Okay? And then we journey over to the book of Leviticus to find another command. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people. But listen, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then he tags on, I am the Lord. Just in case you're wondering here, I made you. I'm in charge. This is my world. You are my people. And I'm telling you something here you need to make note of. You need to love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so command two, love others. Love God, love others. Now, this is an amazing thing as it comes together in Jesus' time. Jesus, in his teaching ministry, was constantly trying to be trapped in his words. These religious leaders of the day were trying to get him to stumble up and say something that they could condemn him for. Well, if you've studied Jesus much, you know he never misspeaks, ever. He never says a word he doesn't fully mean. He never says anything that doesn't carry the fullness of all of the truth of God. So listen to this. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus responds, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. Okay? Deuteronomy 6:4, he quotes it. He'd have known this inside and out. He probably would have quoted this every day, twice to himself. Every day, out loud. But then he's not done. He's not done there. He said, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then he adds, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. On these two commandments, everything hinges on these two commandments. Love God, love others. So I'd like to spend a little bit of time today asking the question, Jesus, what do you mean? There is a second like it, another command like it. So there is the great commandment, and then there's one like it. How is it like it? What is similar about loving God and loving others? So one of the things that I tried to do in the outline is just to mirror some things, okay? I want you to see how strikingly consistent this call is from the pages of the scriptures through many different authors, many different audiences. The theme continues, okay? So let's begin with command number one, love God. Command number one, love God. Point, how do we do it? What does it look like? What does it look like to love God? How are we to do this? Well, thank you, Lord. Your scripture speaks clearly to these things. Now, what I've done is I've just taken samples of these things. This is a challenge of topical preaching, is I'm just taking samples of just rich and deep texts that someday we're going to journey through in detail. Can't wait. Today, though, let's begin here. To love God, we must first know his love for us. Okay? In order for us to love God, we must first know his love for us. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, look at this. 1 John 4:16 and verse 19. We have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. We love how? Why? Because he first loved us. So, I would say it this way. And by the way, jot these references down. I would just encourage you, there's space there. Jot these down. You're going to want to come back and sit in these. I loved all week just marinating with these verses. And I needed them throughout the week to put them to work in my life. Okay? We love because he first loved it. Our capacity to love, truly, selflessly love God and anyone else originates with his initiating love towards us. Okay? That's massive to understand. I cannot truly, selflessly, at the definition of the truest level of love, give my love to anyone else unless I am set free by God to do so. How am I set free to do so? Well, one guy put it this way. John Owen, 300 years dead, he wrote a book called The Bondage of the Will. He said, what we need is not more free will, but wills set free. You see this? Wills set free. We are slaves to self, slaves to sin. We worship at the idol of me and self. And love is the exact opposite of that. Love pours itself out for the other. And so even generous and good deeds that would be applauded by humanity, at the end of the day, if they are not done from the freedom of the love of God, they are not truly loving. So how then are we to freely respond to God's love? Well, we see his love for us. God shows his love for us. How? In that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. We cannot love God until we first know his love for us. We are incapable of knowing love, true love, until we know his love. And that would be his son. We know his love. He demonstrates his love by the gift of his son. Even while we were sinners, he died for us. Important to see this. Now, point two, to love God is to obey God. It's to obey God. Now, you can see this in the larger context. There's commandments here. Commandment number one, love God. Commandment number two, love others. So, it's a pretty obvious point. To love God is to obey God. A text, John 15, 9-10. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, Jesus says. Now, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Whoa, what? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So one of the ways that you abide in my love is to do what I say. It's to obey me. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. God is not indifferent to our obedience. It matters. He has not been silent. He has given us commandments. He has called us to action. And one of the ways we display our love for God is obeying him. We obey him. Now, my kids, similarly, display their love for me more than just saying, "Hey, Dad, I love you." They display their love for me when I tell them, "Hey, son, can you clean your room up?" And he says, "I love you, Dad." And then he doesn't do it. What? No. "I love you, Dad. Absolutely. I would love to. I would love to clean that room up." We're getting closer to that. He's doing a good job. He's doing a good job. We show our love through obedience. If you love me, obey me. If you love me, obey me. Next point, to love God is to love others. Now, unbelievable similarities here as you see these commands come together. To love God is to love others. If anyone says, 1 John 4, 20-21, if anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar. He's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So this ties very closely with obedience. It ties obviously into the first point, which is we are set free to love others by the love that God initiates to us in Christ. If we love God, we will love others. There's no middle ground. It's not gray. It's black and white. This is not optional. The call is, you love God by loving others. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 13, I can't think of a more sweeping, glorious passage on love than this. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but not love, I am nothing. If I give all I have and deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. What? Do you know how real what he is saying is? Imagine if somebody deserved death by burning because of debt. And I came in and said, you know what? No, no, hold on. I'll pay the debt and I'll take his place at the stake. Come on, just get him out of here. You know, it's my duty. You know, it's what I'm supposed to do. So I walk in and literally save this person's life by my action. But I don't hold love to that person. True, not self-seeking, but others-oriented love, I gain nothing. God says, I'm not impressed. Not impressed. I don't just want your actions. I want your heart to display my love to the other when you do what you do. Important. Oh, the challenge of this. Command number two, love others. Love others. Now watch how this happens. Love your neighbor as yourself. I need to clarify a point here. There are some who preach this text, and they would say, in order to truly love your neighbor, you have to first love yourself. I would say to that, we already do. I don't think there is a challenge with that point. We love me. We love you. You love you. You don't have to work to do that. It's called the sinful bent to love yourself. Self-love is what we know. It's what we're born with. Love others as you love yourself is not. That's alien love. We don't know that love until we see cross and gospel and one who lays down his life for another truly out of love for them. To love others as you love yourself, okay? So don't think this is a call, first I need to love myself more and then I can love others. No, we love ourselves plenty. That's not what's at issue. The issue is, do I love my neighbor to the extent that I can concern myself with me and watch out for my own good, my own concerns, my own issues? Is it that important what he thinks or she thinks or how she's doing or he's doing as it is about how I'm doing? You feel that? It's right there, isn't it? It's right there. So, to love others, we must love God first. It's a bit of a play on words off of the first statement in the top. To love God, we must first know his love for us. What I'm saying here is, to love others, we must love God first. Now, obviously, chronologically, yes. Yes. We cannot love another until we have been set free by the love of God towards us. We love because he first loved us. But what I'm talking about here is priority. Priority. My love for God enables, it sets in the right setting my love for others. When I love God first in my life, I have capacity to overflow to others in ways that I never could on my own. Marriage itself is a constant saying, oh Lord, I find all that I need in you. And from the overflow of that, here, look. Look at this lady you've blessed my life with. Look at these kids. Look at these neighbors and friends, and the circles go on out, right? To love others, the top priority of our lives must be a love for God. You could put it this way. Love is the overflow and expansion of joy in God, which gladly meets the needs of others. If it comes any other way, it's self-serving, and it's ugly. It's a pat on the back. It's, I'll write this check. Now, give me some applause. You see? To truly love others is to love God first and foremost in our lives. It's the overflow and expansion of joy in God. Joy in God. Okay? Next point, to love others is to obey God. Same as the top. To love God is to obey God. To love others is to obey God. This is restating the obvious. It's a command here. A new commandment I give to you, Jesus says, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, by what? By this love, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You want to talk about missions? You want to talk about outreach? There is no greater testimony of your faith and the power of the gospel than the way you treat your neighbor, those in this church, your family, your spouse, your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters. That is the testimony that speaks the loudest, the power of the gospel. By this, all men, all people will know that you are my disciples. To love others is to love God. To love others is to love God. Just flip it from the top. To love God is to love others. To love others is to love God. Now look, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. To love others is to love God. You see that? Look at that. So when I see a need, and I go of the overflow of my joy in God to meet that need, I do that out of love for the other, but I love God. It's direct love for God. No wonder they will know that we are his disciples if we have love for one another. If we have love for one another. You know, love is an interesting thing. Sometimes it's warm and nice and just happy. And sometimes it's just a scrap. Just an all-out fight to, I will love you. I will. Because he loved me, I love you. I will not take offense. I will not fall into that pit. I will continue to love you no matter what. Now, love is hard work. Love pours out the self for the other. I was thinking about how this works, this command number one and command number two, the great commandment and one like it. And I got to thinking, you know, it's like God's love comes down to the sea of sin, and he drops the cross, the most beautiful drop of love we have ever, ever witnessed. And it just falls into this sea of sin, and here comes a ripple. It just washes over people, and it begins to move in them and change them, literally changing the substance of their soul from death to life, from darkness to light. And then all of a sudden they find this capacity that all they used to do is walk around with a mirror and say, what can I do for me? What can I do for me? And now all they can do is just say, how can I help you? How can I help? Is there anything I can do to pray for you? Do you need anything at all? Or, you know what? When you say this, you hurt people. And I love you too much to not tell you. I really do care about you. Love in all its forms. It comes from the overflow of that drop of love in this sea of sin. It's messy, but it's beautiful. It's beautiful. You were meant to continue the ripple effect of the love that God initiated in the dropping of His Son to this earth and the cross and the tremendous tidal wave of love that blew over the shore, transformed people. Are you flowing over God's love to others He places in your path? I mean, what does this look like for you tomorrow morning, 8 a.m.? How about in that class when you sit next to that person and just everything they do just gets under your skin? Or what does this look like next time you're having a marriage discussion? How does it look to flow over God's love to say, you know what, I was wrong. I'm sorry. And I love you. You know what, I love you. What does this look like in the church when well-intentioned people bump into each other? How does this look? This is the proving ground of the gospel, which is why at this church we are committed to promoting loving relationships, because by this all men will know that we are His. We are His. I want you just to close your eyes and listen to these words and just take some time with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I'm just going to read you some words about love. And then I just want you to let the Lord stir in your heart. Let the Spirit of God move in your life and bring to mind what He needs to bring to mind. Encouragement, conviction, repentance, resolve. Listen to these words. God, impress these words upon us as a church. Love is patient. It's kind. Love doesn't envy or boast. Love isn't arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. Love doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. Love doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing. Instead, love rejoices in the truth. It rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. It bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. And love endures all things. Love never ends. It never ends. Father, we sit in silence now for a few minutes just to let You work and speak. Is there someone God's bringing to mind that you have failed to love like this? Do something about it. Is there something in your past that has haunted you? Something you've left undone, raw, unloving? Do something about it. Is there a situation that continues to come up again and again and again, and your patience wears thin, and you just can't figure out how you will continue to do this, to love this person? Let these words sink deep. Is there someone maybe in this room, right here, right now, that you need to go and have a conversation with? apologize to. Reaffirm the power of the gospel on display in your love for them. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Love. Wives, submit to your husbands. Love. Joyfully, intelligently. This is love. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Show my power alive and at work in you by obeying your parents. Maybe in our families, maybe at the workplace, maybe at the softball field or soccer field or wherever you find yourself, maybe in the classroom, maybe at the park with the neighbors. Maybe you keep running into opportunities rather than headaches. Maybe what God is trying to show you is that he has chosen you to be the instrument of his love to that person. When all you have seen is annoyance and problem and trouble and you just want to run the other way, maybe God is saying, love them. Show my love to them. Obey me. Overflow in joy and gladly meet their needs. Listen to them. Hear them out. Love them enough to tell them what you see. Oh God, make us a church that would overflow with love. Just that would wash out of this place, that these walls would just pour out your love. Because we have been so marked by your grace, your gospel is so powerful. The cross stands as the most loving display in all of time, all of eternity. Make us a people of the cross who would never forget what we have been forgiven, so that we would just flow over everybody that you put in our path. Bring us, Father, I pray, bring us opportunities today, even this week, to put this to work in our small groups, in our families, in our church, with our neighbors, at work, at school. We want to show your love. Fill us up with a greater and greater capacity to do so. Let us find our joy in you and in your love, and then from there, gladly meet the needs of others. This is how we were wired to live, Lord. It's the best way to live, and it brings you the most glory. We give you all of these things and ask that in your power, you would accomplish mighty things today and this week. In Jesus' name, amen.